Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and this is Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and the political events. Some of the questions we'll be discussing today, it is the last day of February, hallelujah, 2013, the 28th. I guess we shouldn't be so quick to get these days over with, but the only reason I'm happy for is when I think of March, I think of spring. But, you know, we can have some pretty hefty snowstorms in the middle of March, but I'll just keep on thinking and keep my fingers crossed that Punxsutawney Phil was correct. February 28th, 2013, welcome to the program today, and thank you for joining us. We'll be discussing a little bit more about the sequester, and we're also going to be talking about QE3. That's big in the news. Do we or do we not? When do we pull it? Some want to pull it because they're scared of what the final. How do they exit from QE3 should be the question. And we all have our own personal views on how they will do that. And is the economy, you think we're still headed for trouble? And they actually came out with a new GDP number today, another revision, or the first revision, few more coming. But we'll be talking about all of this, so make sure you stay tuned. First, we're going to go ahead and talk about the markets today. And, oh, what a day it was. We had gold down $17 today at $15.80. Silver's down 48 cents at $28.60. Platinum was down 10 at 1587. Palladium was down 15 at $733. US dollar index today was trading higher, up 0.38, almost at 82, 81.95, with crude oil down almost a full dollar at 91.90. And we also have the markets today. The Dow is ending higher for the third straight month, up 1.4%. However, it's still down on the day, down 20 points at 1405.40. You see how they spin that news for you, folks? The NASDAQ down 2 at 3160, S&P down 1 at 1514, 10-year still trading the yield 1.89, and the euro is almost 131, 1.3062. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Folks, give us a call at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Visit our website at dgscoins.com. That is dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can listen to these programs. They're archived on a daily. And we're adding archives. I think we've got a year or two on the website of archives, so you can go back and if you want to hear some old voices, you can go on there and see what was going on 2 years ago. DGScoins.com. And if you have any questions for today's program, Wendy Wilson will be joining us for the first 20 minutes of the broadcast. And if you have any questions, you can call us at 1-800-596-8191. That is 1-800, toll free, 596-8191. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. How you doing?
It's great to have you here, and also hello, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Hi,
hello,
Al.
Wendy.
Hey, Al.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, folks.
Hey, Melanie. So, last time we spoke, you wanted me to give you guys some input, or your listening audience some input about, I guess, medical bags, emergency kits, if you will. And
yeah.
Yeah, I didn't forget. There's a couple of websites if you're really looking for what I call EMT kits, you know, what an emergency responder would have. If you're looking for that kind of thing, there's a couple of websites. All Things First Aid, allthingsfirstaid.com. They have some neat stuff, as well as a place called thesafetystore.com, and they have all kinds of kits for all kinds of budgets, and you can see what's in them. So you can check that out. And, of course, we do, if you're looking for a more natural type of kit regarding backup medicines, we do have a vitamin vault and some pandemic kits and things like that on our website at thepowerbs.com. So, and we just came out with a new lung and congestion kit, which is really good because for some reason February is supposed to be the flu, big flu month, but it's turned out to be the big upper respiratory infection month. And so people are having issues with that.
Yeah, I believe Al had a little bit of issue with that.
No, I've had it for like 3 weeks now. It's been bothering me,
yeah.
And it's really very strange because I'm normally very healthy, and very seldom
yes.
I get sick. And if I do, you get it and you get done with it. I've had a sore throat that's dragged on for 10 days now, and it seems like it gets a little better every day, but it only gets better by like 5%. Previously, had a problem, you'd have the problem for 3 days, 4 days, a week, whatever, but then, bang, it was gone. That's not what's happened. I continue to have, you know, just 5% better, 5% better every day, but I can't seem to get to the end of it.
Yeah,
so
but,
I'm surprised.
The news input on what's going on is what Al's experiencing, and a lot of sinus infections, upper respiratory infections, they're taking 4 weeks to get over. Even if you do take antibiotics, it's kind of dragging itself out. And most physicians now, if the mucus that is being produced by the pathogen is more milky white and foamy, that indicates a virus, and they are not prescribing antibiotics. So you have to let it run its course. So that's the story for February.
I don't think I've taken an antibiotic, I'll bet you it's 20 years. I have considered taking an antibiotic. This thing is dragged on. I've considered taking one. What's your perspective on antibiotics? Are they something that we can use safely? Do they have inherent dangers? I look at it as kind of a last resort. If I, you know, worst case scenario, I might take some antibiotics, but I'm not inclined to do so. So what do you think is sensible about antibiotics?
Oh, well, I think antibiotics are kind of a double-edged sword. I mean, we really got introduced to them in the 40s, you know, when they were using amoxicillin and erythromycins and stuff, and it was taking care of a lot of bacterial infections, and the medical community kind of was celebrating. They were kind of saying, we've defeated all bacterial infections. We'll never have an issue ever again. It's sort of like the guy who, you know, launched Titanic and said, no, even God can't sink this ship. So I think they didn't look down the road to realize that they were going to produce mutated, drug-resistant type of strains. And now, with pharmaceutical companies not really pushing to develop more or stronger antibiotics, they're in the areas of vaccines and virus types of drugs. So I think I'm really worried that people who are used to using antibiotics to get over infections, they may be out in the cold eventually when there are no new drugs to use, and these things are just really persistent and lingering. So I encourage folks, you know, to do what you're doing, Alan, is really exercise that immune system muscle, give it some support. There's some nutrition, herbs and foods that you can, obviously vitamins and minerals you can use to strengthen your own immune system to defeat the pathogen, coat it, and see when you overcome an illness, your body remembers that particular pathogen. So the next time,
but you're saying that if you take an antibiotic. Mm-hmm. You have not strengthened your immune system. For example, when we're a child, you get chicken pox. All right, well, it strengthens your immune system and you don't get it again, at least in theory. But what you may be saying, and you correct me if I'm wrong, is that if you're taking the antibiotics, you might get over the chicken pox suddenly. And chicken pox may not be the right, it may be a bad example, but are you still exposed? Are you still vulnerable after you've taken antibiotics as compared to if you had survived the disease without antibiotics? Is there a difference there that's worth worrying about or not?
Yeah. When you allow your immune system to defeat an infection, it's going to protect you in the long run later if you're exposed to that same pathogen. Mm-hmm. If, mm-hmm. let's say it's virus, or even a bacterial infection, your body knows what particular antibody to release to destroy that, mm-hmm. so that you may never even come down with symptoms since your immune system already knows what will kill it. I came across a report, actually, I was looking at the report on the human immune system for 2012, and the International Medical Council on vaccinations, they offer on their website a lot of information and resources to physicians and even laypersons about the state of our immunity. And they correlated some interesting data from a 2011 report on immune system and vaccines that was headed up by a Dr. Harold Buttram. And actually, he thinks that vaccines have really turned our immune systems inside out. And he kind of cautions people from vaccinating their kids and vaccinating themselves, because he says if you let your immune system become strong and deal with these pathogens, even these childhood illnesses, you know, the natural way, he says your immune system becomes fully functional. He says the epithelial and the endothelial tissues in your respective organs and your lymph nodes get a little bit of a workout, but it strengthens them as well. And he had a nice correlation. He said the average 30-year-old who has been vaccinated, who has used antibiotics, does not have as strong an immune system as an unvaccinated 3-year-old that hasn't had any antibiotics. How about that?
That's fascinating, and it raises a question. Are we increasing our exposure to a possible pandemic,
yep.
where a disease comes in and attacks, not just, you know, you're having a bad day, a bad week, it comes in and essentially attacks a nation? Do we become more vulnerable to this? And if so, which nations would it make sense to suppose that the United States, by taking a lot of vaccines, might be more vulnerable to a pandemic than a nation like China that presumably has had few vaccines?
Well, yeah, you're right about that. I think so. I mean, and there's a way, even if you've had vaccines and antibiotics, there's a way to rebuild that immune system. And mm-hmm. One way to do that is to, you know, don't run to the doctor or don't use the over-the-counter products, because even though the over-the-counter products may, you know, lessen your symptoms, it's going to crop up somewhere else. Let's say you've got, mm-hmm. you know, a cough or, you know, an upper respiratory infection, and you're running and you're wanting to use the DayQuil, the NyQuil, the Sudafeds, and whatever. What happens is, you know, it may lessen the symptoms initially, but then it's going to crop up as either an ear infection or a throat infection or pneumonia down the road. So those pathogens have to be dealt with one way or another. And when you suppress them, they're just going to come back and be more difficult to defeat later. And I think that's what a lot of people are experiencing, especially with the sinus stuff. A lot of people are used to the antibiotics, and now they're not working as well, and they may get over an infection, and then in a week or two, they're back with it again, even if they finish their antibiotic course. So I think exercise that immune system, but support it. There's nutrition like zinc, lots of nice zinc and vitamin C, very helpful to the immune system for support. A lot of herbs like astragalus root, for instance, has lots of vitamin C and zinc in there. So you use that, and it's not something that you have to use in short bursts. You can use that on a daily basis if you want. So there's lots you can do to strengthen yourself. And I have a secret, Al. If you get the flu, you can get over it in 2 days. You want to know what that is?
Mm-hmm. Go out and get drunk or something like that? Jack Daniels?
No. Yeah, a little hot toddy, eh? No, it's not that much fun, really. What you want to do is you don't want to suppress the fever by taking acetaminophen, Tylenol, aspirin, because the higher the fever goes, the more macrophages the body's pumping out and circulating through the system to kill the virus. So what you want to do is keep the fever wet. You want to keep drinking fluids. And you can use some hot and cold therapy, you know, some hydrotherapy to help you with the aches and pains. And you just don't want to eat a lot of solid foods. You can use light broths, chicken soup, for instance. And you're just going to get over that flu in 2 days instead of 5 or 7 when you try to feel more comfortable with the over-the-counter stuff. So just hang tough. Use your immune-boosting herbs. Drink your teas, your herbal teas, and lots of fluids, and you'll tough it out for 2 days.
What was that old saying? Feed the cold, starve the or fever.
Yeah,
or?
Yeah. It's basically starve a fever, feed a cold.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is the immune system uses a lot of energy, and if you're trying to digest solid foods, that energy is going towards the digestion instead of the immune system.
We have a caller, George from Ontario. Wendy.
Yay.
Yeah, George, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks, Melanie. Wendy, do you have a cure for tinnitus or tinnitus?
Tinnitus, yeah. Do you live near wind-generating mills? You know, the electricity mills?
Yeah.
You do?
No.
No, okay.
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I'm in the city.
Okay, those wind-generating mills for electricity do promote tinnitus. There's a lot of things that seem to be promoting it. Sometimes it's medications, so you want to check your medication side effects. Sometimes it can be that. People that are on heart medicines, for instance, can have that or even lose their hearing long-term. So you want to check your drugs. And interesting enough, we use some Nervine herbs to help with that, to reduce the ringing in the ears. So there's some things out there that you could do. If you want to send me an email, I could probably send you a list of some things you can check out.
What's your email, Wendy?
They can email me at wwilson, that's W-W-I-L-S-O-N, at thepowerherbs.com, and I'll send you that information.
Okay.
Oh, okay, thanks, Wendy. Thanks, Melody.
You're welcome.
Thank you, George. Appreciate it. He was calling from Ontario.
Awesome. Well, you know, Melody, that old saying, the treated cold lasts 7 days and the untreated cold lasts a week.
Yeah.
You know,
I understand.
Well, got to run its course sometimes, but the stronger the immune system, the shorter the duration.
Why don't you give us, we've got about 40 seconds left right now. Why don't you give us what's the difference between a vaccine and an antibiotic?
Well, a vaccine is an artificial infection. It's a direct invasion of the pathogen right into the bloodstream. It bypasses all your immune system defenses. And actually, the immune system, when it encounters that pathogen in the bloodstream, it assumes it's supposed to be there. So you do not develop any immunity to it. And the reason that's the truth is you need booster shots. Otherwise, you wouldn't need them. An antibiotic is really, it means anti-life or against life. So it's supposed to kill the bacteria, but I think it also does kill an immune system, long-term use, overuse of them. So do be aware that an antibiotic is, it may initially get you out of the woods, but long-term, I think it's just a double-edged sword.
Why don't you give folks contact information, and we will move on to our commercial break, Wendy.
Sure. They can visit our website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. And when you're there, do sign up for the American Survival Newsletter. You'll love that. It's free. Or you can give us a call toll-free for a free product catalog at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And once again, it's been great being with you guys.
Thank you.
Good to have you here, Wendy. Talk to you next Thursday.
Take care. Alrighty, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, folks, I'm Alfred Atascuro with Melody Cederstrom. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements on financial survival. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hey folks, I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Melody, I'm not exactly sure. You don't. I don't think you have a new special for today. But do you? Are you still running the same special, or
we still have 90% face value, quarters, dimes, and 50-cent pieces. It's a great bartering material. It's an inexpensive, still more inexpensive than what the 1 ounce silver eagles are. So it's a great way to be buying your silver, 90% silver, $25 face value, and also the AU $5 Liberty gold piece. It's a great fractional coin. They perform very well, and we're still carrying that package through, so they can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. You can buy one package or 100 of them, so you just got to do it. We have a great pullback today, and so you can save a little bit on your silver.
Okay, here's my question, and we talked a little bit about this during the break. Gold has been down $20, which was shocking. Then it went up $20, which was surprising, and now it's gone down almost $20 again. We've got a great deal of volatility in the gold market right now. What does that portend? Does that indicate gold's going to jump up, it's going to jump down, it's going to just move sideways? Is there any significance to this volatility, or is it just, you know, much ado about nothing? Is there significance, and if so, what is it?
Well, I think that what's really going on, there's a lot of people don't know what to expect anymore. I mean, you don't have anything coming out of Washington, and actually everything that's coming out of Washington and that insecurity, that instability, actually should be good for gold.
I know.
Things that had happened in December, I mean, even the fiscal cliff, so many of these things should have been positive for gold. You have the Middle East that's falling apart. You don't hear much more about Syria. You don't hear a lot what's going on over there. But it hasn't arrested. They're still having problems over there. So all of these things, and again, I think a lot of it is psychological. All the news has been, so many things have been blacked out. They don't want people to know. They don't want people to be scared. They don't want to have any fear in these markets. And yet, it's just the opposite. There should be extreme fear of these markets. There should be extreme fear of what's going to be happening in the next 6 months to a year. And they'll do everything possible to keep things just go as is, so you don't have a lot of volatility. They don't want volatility.
Want volatility in the dollar.
In the dollar and in the markets. So
you think they want volatility in gold?
I don't think they care about gold. They don't want gold to go up. So if it creates any type of volatility where it goes up or down, they have a level set for it, and it's not going to go above that. It's going to take physical buying to push it above, or it's going to take the paper traders. I saw some numbers today on the ETFs. You know, you got those numbers are down. You also have some, if you follow charts, there's been some damage done. There's some near-term damage that has been inflicted on gold recently. And for those who trade paper, they could be following that, and you could have the psychological impact on it. I think when you fall into that mindset, that, they're going to hit it lower and it's going lower, you're going to miss a buying opportunity, because I believe things are so severe in this economy, not only here in the U.S., but around the world, that it's going to just take off. Now, by taking off, I don't mean it's going to be $1,900 tomorrow, but I do believe we're going to see this reverse. It's the end of the month. You had some numbers come out, and I think next month is going to be a whole different ball game. So don't wait to see what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. We just don't know when. And I think numbers at this for gold is a terrific buying opportunity. For silver is a terrific buying opportunity. And I'll tell you what, people wait to see a few cents change on silver. And I'll tell you what, you're more damaged by allowing it to move up a few cents than buying now, and if it goes down a few cents, so what? You're more apt to be hurt having it rise for your purchasing power than getting in today, and so what if it goes down a few more pennies? You can't time the markets. You just can't. And when you start trying, you lose. It's human nature. You're just going to lose. And I've seen it happen.
And you have to play the trend then. You're saying you can't speculate on the difference of what the price is today as compared to what the price will be tomorrow or next Monday or whatever. And if you're holding out to see it move up or down a dime, the point is, if it's not about what's happening this week, next week, and so on. It is about what's happening next year. Where will the price of gold be a year from now? And you look at that and make up your own mind. You may not be able to peg it and say, well, it'll be exactly $2,187. I can't say that. Nobody can say that. But you can still say whether it's going to be up or it's going to be down. You can make a reasonable prediction as to whether it's going to be up or down, and perhaps significantly up or down, although not specifically. And then you move, and then you act accordingly. My take on the price of gold moving $20 down, then $20 up, then $20 down again, that volatility suggests to me that we have trouble in River City. With a capital T, and that rhymes with G, and that stands for gold. And what I mean by that, for me, I look at the instability in this volatility, and instability is one of the reasons you buy gold.
Mm-hmm.
It suggests that things are uncertain, things are not clearly defined, there is great doubt under those circumstances. If everything's running fine and we're hitting on all eight cylinders and the economy's chugging along, all right, fine, I don't know that you necessarily need any gold. But when you see this kind of up and down volatility, it suggests to me, just the volatility itself, it suggests that things are uncertain, unstable, and generally speaking, that means people should be in a mood to buy gold. It's in the midst of instability we buy gold. We need gold, more so than at any other time.
Also reports talking about, you had the head of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. They said Thursday about the Italian elections that the gridlock, it won't significantly impact the EU debt crisis. That's crazy. It will.
Yeah.
And there was also debt auctions. Today you had Spanish and Italian bond yields. They fell slightly. So they look at that as a positive sign that the EU debt crisis is now stable. Hello? They came out, the European Central Bank chief, Draghi, said, hey, they will do whatever they have to pump as much money into the system to keep it going. Does that sound like that it's stable? Do you think that really is a stable economy?
It's a guarantee for inflation.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a guarantee for inflation. And who is he mimicking?
Oh.
Helicopter Ben Bernanke.
Got it.
Who has said he's going to pump all the money you need into this, or currency, not money, but currency into the economy that's needed to allegedly sustain it. Well, now Europe's doing the same thing. How can it possibly, and Japan is doing the same thing.
Yeah.
That indicates, and then we talk about currency wars between foreign nations, and what currency wars mean is that our government is going to attempt to inflate our dollar and make it cheaper than the euro. And the euro is going to try to make the Europeans are going to try to make the euro inflated and make it less valuable than the Japanese yen. And the Japanese yen, they're trying to inflate their currency and make it less valuable than anybody's currency. And the object is that this will supposedly stimulate exports, because if they make their currency really cheap, then other people will buy their exports. Well, all that tells me, at least, is that the world is slipping into an era of global inflation that's going to be significant. Now, whether or not that global inflation is going to kick in and it'll be obvious in a week, well, I don't expect that. But it's going to be undeniable by the end of this next quarter, or maybe the end of the quarter after that, but it's going to kick in this year. We've got three major economic entities, Europe, the United States, and Japan, are all dedicated to QE3 inflation. All that can mean is the price of gold has to go up, and it's going to go up on an annual basis. At least if there is any reason and justice and whatever in the world, how can they avoid, how can they prevent this from happening? So again, point, we see a lot of volatility. I'm reading it as at least an increased probability that the price of gold is going to begin to rise. Now, true or false, don't know. We'll watch and see. But volatility plus global inflation, what else can happen here?
Well, you know, the one word I just want to take, and we do have a caller, Wayne from Texas, is improved attitudes in the marketplace is what's dampened the safe haven for gold. Improved attitudes. It's all about confidence. That is what truly is ruling the world economies, is confidence. And if you want to bet your money on confidence instead of something real, be my guest.
And how confident can you be when you see Europe is going to inflate their currency and the Americas inflating its currency with QE3, Japanese are going to inflate their currency. They've declared they're going to do that at least 2% a year over the course of the next several years. What does that tell us? How can you have confidence in anything other than persistent and growing inflation, which means price of gold should go up?
We have a Wayne from Texas. Are you there, Wayne? Hello, Wayne.
Yeah, hi, folks. It's good to hear you on the air in the Dallas area.
Fantastic.
Well, it's good to hear you, too, Wayne. Glad to hear you're listening down there in Texas. What can we do for you?
Al, some guy named Kevin who claims to be your friend told me about the station here. So, again, we're glad that 1480 in Dallas has got you on the air. But the reason I was calling was, you know, everybody's kind of scratching their head about the gold and silver prices. And I heard a recent report that a lot of the depressed pricing may be due to tons of naked shorting being done by major U.S. banks. And what seems to be happening is on one side, they are doing, again, heavy shorting to drive the price down. But on the other side, they're also buying it, the physical. And this seems to be the normal suspects like J.P. Morgan and Goldman and the rest of them. But within this report, the fellow talked about this commitment of traders report that showed that the naked shorting was almost 5-1, where they were shorting like 175,000 ounces of silver that they did not own versus only 35,000 ounces in the COMEX. So I guess the obvious question is this legal? And it could very well be based on the loose interpretation of the laws anymore by the CFTC, but I was wondering if this is something you folks had heard of or considered.
You hear a bunch of things. The one thing that seems true is that the only way to explain what appears to be irrational pricing for gold and silver, it appears to be irrational to me, I can only understand it in terms of intentional manipulation of the market. People are driving the price down. They've been significant, powerful institutions are pushing the price down, and they have to be doing so for their own self-interest. They found a way to make money by pushing the price of gold down. And how do you make money by pushing the price of gold down? You push it down. How else could you make money other than by buying it at a low price in anticipation of a higher price in the foreseeable future? I don't see a way that they can push. Now, you may understand this, Wayne. I can see that you are intelligent and knowledgeable on these subjects. Can you suggest a way that the Wall Street financial institutions can profit from a reduction in the price of gold without expecting they're going to buy more gold in the future? Is there another way to make a profit off of pushing the price of gold down?
That's all I can see, Al, is that if this is true that it's almost a 5-1 ratio, they can do all this shorting with, I guess, no risk. You know, because again, it's all naked and all that, and if they're controlling the physical side, or not controlling the physical side, but if they're manipulating it, it sure seems to me like they are positioning themselves to definitely take advantage of maybe a coming change in our monetary system where owning physical gold and silver will definitely be the way to go based on what comes out of, a dollar collapse or something like that. It just seems to me like I don't see how it could be absolutely legal to do a 5-to-1 ratio, maybe 1-to-1, 2-to-1 at the most, but yeah, it's such an artificially depressed market that, again, it's just messing up, I think, the trading philosophy of a lot of people, because you're fighting like almost an invisible enemy here.
And the question is, how long can this invisible entity maintain enough power to defy the free market? At what point does the free market finally kick in? At what point does the invisible adversary just run out of the wealth or equipment or whatever tools they need in order to suppress the price? How long can this continue? It can't continue forever, but
depends on the probably depends on the availability of the product. You know, if silver starts getting in shorter and shorter supply, you know, that'll probably move things into a positive direction for physical owners. But
we'd like to think so. But I'll tell you what, Wayne, we're going to have to take a break here for some commercials, and we will be right back. I'm Alfred Adusk. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Adusk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Okay, Melody, where are we going now?
Well, you want to talk about the sequester.
Yeah, we could. Got an article here from the Washington Times. Now, this is in the context... We have been warned, if you're paying any attention to the sequester, all right, let's just make sure everyone, the sequester is a reflection of the 2011 Budget Control Act.
<That's funny.
laughs> And the Congress said back in 2011, somebody's got to do something about this budget. This is getting out of control, but not now. You understand? We aren't going to do anything now. But we will postpone it till 2013. And that's 2 years away, or 18 months anyway, from the Budget Control Act of 2011. So they postpone it until 2013. And the idea behind the sequester is if government can't behave responsibly in the 18 months between the 2011 Budget Control Act and tomorrow, then automatic spending cuts would kick in. All right? If governments can't sit back and say, okay, we're going to take this, but we're not going to take that, but we're going to cut this, if they can't agree, then there would be automatic spending cuts of $85 billion in the first year and presumably $85 billion for a number of subsequent years. Now we've got to the moment, and everybody says, oh my gosh, how did this happen? We're going to have a sequester. We're going to have to stop spending $85 billion, which is about 3% of the total annual spending by government, all right, that they admit to in the budget, 3%. And they say, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. The world is coming to an end. It's been described as a catastrophe, a calamity, and oh my gosh. And here we have a report in Washington Times. What's happened is they haven't been able to stampede the country into fearing the sequester. They kind of had some success at that with the fiscal cliff, but that turned out to be nothing more than a little bump in the road. That didn't amount to anything. And I think people are kind of fed up and they say, oh, yeah, another crisis. So in the context of a crisis is a terrible thing to waste, it appears that the Obama administration has wasted the feigned crisis of sequester. And here's an article from the Washington Times, headline, Obama says sequester may not be felt right away. So it turns out that for those of you that were concerned that the Earth was going to come to an end, we weren't going to be hit by an asteroid, we would be hit by a sequester on Friday, tomorrow. Now Obama says, maybe not. The article says, after warning the public for weeks of the dire consequences of automatic budget cuts, President Obama told business leaders Wednesday night that many people won't feel the impact immediately. Again, they've wasted their crisis. President Obama has cried wolf and nobody cared. Do you think the little president who cried crisis has lost his credibility with the American people? Could it be that the Americans are about fed up with warnings that the sky is going to fall this week, next week? According to Mr. Obama, he says, this is not a cliff, but it is a tumble downward. The president said unless a company is directly related to the Defense Department or is located in a town with a military installation, it's conceivable that in the first week, the first 2 weeks, the first 3 weeks, the first month, a lot of people may not notice the full impact of the sequester. What he's telling us in part, again, a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. That's from Hillary Clinton and Rahm Emanuel. It is their position that they want to exploit these crises and even manufacture them. If they can stampede the herd of American people and say, oh my gosh, there's going to be a sequester and we're all going to die. Well, the public, for whatever reason, isn't buying it, and the politicians aren't going to make any settlement before tomorrow. And it looks like we're going to have sequester, and chances are no one is going to notice very much. There'll be some people who'll be impacted, I get that, but by and large, the impact won't be that much. And here we have President Obama essentially admitting it. And here's another thing. Negotiations have bogged down over what to do about the sequester, negotiations between Congress and the White House. And it says, over Mr. Obama's insistence on raising another $580 billion in tax revenue. Huh? Now, he claims we need the $85 billion that we would cut out for sequester to stimulate the economy. The idea behind the Budget Control Act of 2011 is government spending too much money. We've got to stop spending. And Obama is essentially saying, look, I'm prepared to go along with $85 billion in tax in spending cuts if we can raise another $580 billion in tax revenue. What do you think they're going to do with the tax revenue? We're going to cut $85 billion, but we're going to raise $580 billion in taxes. What do you think they're going to do with those $580 billion? The truth of the matter is they're going to spend most of it. Government is still caught in this mode where they are convinced that this economy cannot hold together if government doesn't spend like a drunken sailor. One way or another, and I can tell you that the government is not necessarily wrong in this contention. We have allowed the government to now occupy something like 40% of the gross domestic product of this country is derived from, dependent on, government spending. And yet government spending never produces anything. It's not like building a car. Government doesn't build things. They don't make productive contributions to society, and yet 40% of the society depends on a non-productive government that spends things. It's the idea that we can somehow survive as mere consumers. All we need is just more money, and I'll go out and buy some stuff, and then the economy. See, if I buy more stuff, then everybody else will have more jobs, and everything will just feed on itself, and they'll buy more stuff, and everything. We're just priming the pump. And what I'm saying is you can't prime the pump with worthless currency. It's like taking a drug. It's like taking crack. It creates an illusion, the illusion of euphoria. It may last for a while, but in the end, it will not work. And we have been addicted, we've become addicted to this fiat currency since 1971, when the dollar turned into a pure fiat currency. It was no longer associated with gold or silver on the domestic or international markets. We and the world have become addicted to this fiat currency that has no intrinsic value. And they're telling us the only way they can hold this thing together is by printing more of this fiat currency that has no intrinsic value and is just a debt instrument. We are so far in debt right now that we will never, ever get out. Now, the debt is too great to be paid. And the significance of that is that if they can't pay the debt, then many of the debt instruments, the paper debt instruments, are going to be seen to be worthless before this is over. And the implication is you don't want to store your wealth in paper debt instruments, whether they're dollars, stocks, bonds, pension funds, bank accounts. The sensible thing, from my perspective, you look at it, you see the debt is too great to be paid, you don't want any of the debt instruments. They're telling us, Obama's telling us, the government's telling us, we've got to have more debt instruments. The only way to get out of this debt problem is go deeper into debt. And it's just insane. It's irrational. You look at this and you see the fundamentals, and the only question is how soon does this thing blow up in everybody's faces? And whether it's going to blow up in the next 90 days or the next 6 years, I don't know. But it's going to blow up. It is irrational. It can't survive. So, I don't know. Here we have Obama. He wants to raise taxes by $580 billion. And he wants to, on condition of raising taxes that much, he'll cut the budget by $85 billion. It's all just irrational. It's nuts. And what does it all prove? It proves that the government is perhaps no longer, that it proves perhaps that the people are wise to the idea that a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. You know, the purpose of government is to solve and reduce crises. We have a constitution, and the constitution is intended to maintain a state of peace in this nation. And every so often we do have emergencies. They come in like a Hurricane Katrina hits New Orleans and causes enormous damage. All right, we have a legitimate emergency. Now we have a crisis, all right, a real crisis. What is government supposed to do about the crisis? They are supposed to pass laws to one way or another eliminate the pain, the suffering, the anxiety, the emergency that's going on in New Orleans. That's their job. Their job is to restore the state of peace. But we have a government that is increasingly, they celebrate emergencies. They cause, they declare national emergencies. They use them as an excuse to deprive us of our rights and our property. Say, oh my gosh, it's an emergency. It's a crisis. The sky is falling. Give us all your money. Give us your guns. Give us whatever you got because we're the government. And I think maybe it's too early to say for sure, but there's at least a possibility that the people are beginning to get wise to the little government that cries wolf. We're just not having it anymore. And one of these days, the government's going to cry wolf, and nobody's going to pay any attention at all, and the wolf is going to get the government. And I think the government understands that, and it's part of the reason why they, Obama says, maybe there won't be such a trauma after all. He wasn't able to whip the American people, or at least the Congress, into some sort of hysteria over the sequester that starts tomorrow. I guess this means you don't have to hide in your homes on Saturday and Sunday because the world may not come to an end, contrary to what we'd previously heard. In any case, I'm just rambling here, but here's the punchline on the article from the Washington Times. Obama says whether this can be done in the next 2 days, he's talking about a deal. He says he's not optimistic. I haven't seen things done in 2 days here in Washington in quite some time. And the punchline is, this is Obama, the good news is that I think the public is beginning to pay attention to this. Now, for me, that's the punchline. It's not good news, not from the government's perspective. The last thing Obama wants is for the public to actually pay attention and realize what's going on. Insofar as a crisis is a terrible thing to waste, ignorant, uncomprehending, and hysterical Americans are just the kind of fools that Obama wants to rule. He doesn't want people to pay attention and realize, wait a minute, there's not really an emergency here, is there? There's not really a crisis here. He doesn't want people to pay attention. He says the good news, I think the public is beginning to pay attention to this. Look, if the public is beginning to pay attention, the government is in deep, deep trouble. And I blame either Frank the producer for that trouble or maybe Melody. Who's responsible for that trouble, Melody?
I don't believe the public is beginning to pay attention. I believe with the stock market being higher, I think they're, you know, probably interested in that, and they're getting all this hearsay. I think the numbers are just too big for them to really grasp and to really understand how severe this is. Again, a lot of the reports with the sequester, it's mainly a lot of it is going to hit the defense. I don't think people can really relate to the Defense Department. I think they talk about the government jobs that are being lost. I don't think people really care about government jobs, whether they lose their jobs or not. I mean, I'm just talking about the person on the street. So I'm not sure they have reason to pay attention to this because the stock market is up. And I'm sorry, but the stock market is an indicator. It makes people feel comfortable, whether they're invested in that or not. If the stock market is up, everything must be okay.
And happy days are here again.
And it might not be perfect, but it's okay enough.
And what it really comes down to is they use the stock market to, it's like the propeller on Obama's beanie. And depending on how fast the propeller spins, that tells us what the temperature in the room is. There's not even a connection. It's all irrational. It's crazy. And it's got to go badly for government. It has to go wonderfully for gold in the near future. I'm Alfred Adask. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. I want to thank all of you for listening and pray that the good Lord blesses you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? there never seems to be a single penny left for me.